Yeah. I forgot my notes. Pass me my notes. So after that, alright, don't pass me my notes then. After that fantastic dramatised reading with some, good actors we have in this church, don't we? Don't you think?
All the actors.
We're this morning we're looking at stewardship, and we're going to go through that reading from Matthew 25. You may well want a Bible this morning. It will be on the screen, but it's helpful just to have a look in the context and as we jump around a little bit. So if you want a Bible, just put your hand up and I'm sure somebody will come and give you one. Where is Matthew? Towards the back somewhere. There you go. And as I said, we're talking about stewardship. Last week when we were talking about tithing and giving, I mentioned that this is a subject that we don't often hear in church. We hear many sermons about many other things, about worship, evangelism, praise, teachings from Scripture. But one thing we don't hear a lot of in church is teaching on money and how to use our money. And I think it's a fundamental thing for Christian development. How we view ourselves in relation to God, how we view our property and our finances in relation to God is crucial for the way that we work and the way that we serve Him. If we think that everything we have belongs to us and then we can use that stuff in order to help God and bless other people, then we're mistaken. If we believe that all the hard money that worked that we've earned and the houses that we've brought to pay for and the car and beautifully demonstrated by giving away all of Peter's stuff, so that was good, I have the keys to your car and all that stuff. If we believe that that stuff actually is ours and we own it as a right, then we're mistaken. Because everything is God's and comes from God's and He's entrusted things to our care. And until we can actually comprehend that all these things that there is in the world actually belong to God and He's just entrusted them to us for safekeeping, to use as a blessing to us, but also for a blessing to other people and to the work of the kingdom, we actually won't understand what it means to live in the full blessing of God. If we just dedicate part of our lives, so to Him, okay, I'll give you my Sunday life and, my spiritual life and I'll pray and I'll give so much of what I have. But we don't give Him our whole beings. That means absolutely everything. Our social, our physical, our emotional, our mental, our financial lives. Then we'll be missing out on the blessing that God has for us. Stewardship is a way of God blessing us, of us being faithful to Him. And I firmly believe that for us to take hold of the promises, of all the promises that God has in store for us, we have to let go of those things that we hold on to. For us to take hold of all the blessings that there are in the spiritual world, we have to let go of the trappings that we are told that we deserve in this physical earthly world. And that's a huge thing to get around your heads, because ever since you were like 2 years old, or probably even before, it's drummed into us, work hard, make yourself all right, get a good job, have lots of money. That's what success means, isn't it? Money. You ask general people, go out there, what does success mean to you? Have a big house, a big car, go on fancy holidays. I'm going on holiday soon, that'd be nice. We view that success. Well, actually, in a spiritual sense, that's not what success is at all. Success is living our lives to the max. Jesus tells us that the only way we can do that is to live it with Him. I've come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. If you want abundant life, then that means abundant sacrifice, that we give God everything, my whole being. And the thing that I've discovered is the more and the more that I give to God, and I'm not just talking about giving things away, that I recognize that, God, this is your stuff and you've entrusted it to me, the more blessing He gives to me. The more that I recognize, God, what I have is not mine and is yours, the more blessing God gives to me, that my life is enriched, my life is actually better, that actually financially I receive far more. Now, I'm not going down a prosperity gospel thing this morning, and I've not got my white suit on or anything like that and saying, give me £100, and your lives will be enriched. I'm not talking about that at all. But what we are talking about is stewardship. So we're going to go through this parable together. And I'll stop as we go through and we'll go off and explore it. So let's start. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, let's have a pause. Again. Jesus is telling another story. What's he talking about at the moment? Just look at the headings around in your Bibles. What's he talking about? Excuse me?
The parable of three servants. The kingdom of heaven.
He's talking about the kingdom of heaven? Yeah? What's he saying about it?
He's entrusting it to
us. Okay, he's entrusting it to us. Excuse me, just look back a little bit. You've got the parable of the talents that we're in. You've got the parable of the 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids. Then you've got in Matthew 24, the day and the hour are known. The beginning of Matthew 24, signs of the end of the age. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? The second coming, yeah, the kingdom of God. He's talking about, he's preparing people. You know, this is what it's going to be like when the kingdom finally arrives. This is how you are to be ready. He's talking about preparation, being ready. And he tells this story about this, the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids who weren't ready. They weren't prepared for when the bridegroom came back and they missed out on it. In this parable of the talents, Jesus is explaining what it means to be ready for Jesus to come back. And he goes on and he tells another parable as well about the sheep and the goats. We've talked about that before. Now, this is what it's like at the end times. When I finally return, when all creation is put in order, this is what it's going to be like. This is so that you can be ready, so that you can be prepared. Does that make sense? Yeah? So Jesus is telling a parable here. What is a parable?
A story.
A story? Okay. Anything more than that? A story with a meaning, yeah, very simply. You could say it's an heavenly story with an earthly meaning, you could say. Whether that's true. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Just checking. Which is a nice one of those things that people often say. Yeah, it's a story with a meaning. There's a bit more to it. It's not an allegory. Do you know what an allegory is? You can get some cream, yeah. Pyroton is great for allegories. That's really good. What's an allegory, anybody? An allegory is like a story where something represents something else. And everything in the story represents this other thing that it's talking about. So absolutely everything you can read into and say, well, this is a direct representation of this thing that he's talking about. Does that make sense? A parable isn't that. It's a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus is using this story, and he's using these stories just to try and communicate this vast concept. Not everything that is in the story actually represents how things will be. You know, you've got the master who represents God, you've got the servants who represents us. Not everything about the master's character actually represents God's character. Not everything about the servant's character in this story represents the servant's character or our character. Does that make sense? It's a story to help us visualize and to picture what Jesus is on about. So there we go, let's get on with it. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Let's pause there again. So the picture is of this man, God, you know, going on a journey. Now, if it was allegory, we'd say, well, God's gone away. You know, he's gone and he's left us. Well, that's not true, because we know that God has never left us. But what the story is telling us is he's entrusted his property to them. What is the property? In the parable, it's the talents. But in real life, what is the property that God has entrusted to his servants, who are us? Our lives?
Everything.
Yeah, okay. So let's name a few of those things.
Health,
okay. Money?
Friends,
time?
Property?
Talent, yeah, gifts and abilities? Your Porsche, yeah. Yeah? Have you got a Porsche? Have you? Lovely. I'll come and see you later on. We'll have a drive. My football boots. Absolutely everything that I have. Do you believe that? Do you believe that absolutely everything you have actually belongs to God?
No.
That you're just looking after it? No? Yeah? Yeah. It's so hard, isn't it? It's so difficult. Because everywhere you look, you're told that's not right. Everywhere you go, you just turn on the TV through what people say to you is, look, this is what you've got to do in life, is sort yourself out. Earn yourself a good, you know, living, have some good money, have some good property, and it's yours. And don't let anybody else touch it, because it belongs to you. Guard it. Be careful about it. Because when you've got all that, then you will be happy. Well, many people can actually say, well, I've got all that and I'm still not happy. We need to comprehend this, that God has entrusted all these things to our care. All these things, what we ever said. See, complete this saying for me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means that absolutely everything that is in the earth belongs to God. That means you, that means your property, that means your possessions, that means your abilities, your time, your family, your health. Absolutely anything, everything belongs to God. And he's entrusted it to our care. All things come from God. We're just simply looking after it. We're stewards of it. Yeah, that's the word that you use, stewards of it. That means that we have to show good stewardship in order to use the things that God has given us. That we use our money and our time and our abilities and our gifts and our talents and our Porsches and our cameras and everything that we have in a manner that glorifies God. Now, what I'm not saying is that we give all that away, because God has entrusted it to us for our blessing. And he says, look, I want to bless you because I love you. And I want you to have nice things. I want you to have good things. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to have good holidays. I want you to have a car that works. I want you to live in a good house. I want you to have a PlayStation 3. Oh, she's gone out, isn't she? Typical. God wants us to have good things. But he says, I want you to look after the stuff that I give you. I want you to use it wisely. And that is what stewardship is all about. To one, in verse 15, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. What is a talent? A couple of hundred quid. What is it? If you've got your Bibles, it might give you some help. Money. Several hundred pounds. Is that what it says at the bottom of your Bibles? Yeah, that's not true. A talent isn't a coin. A talent is a sort of a weight of money in this time, you know. Now, when we think of the word talent, we think of an ability, you know, like play guitar or run or stuff like that. But actually, what this word talent, talenton is the Greek word, was a unit of money. Not like a coin or something like that. It was sort of like a measurement. And it was about 6,000 denarii was 1 talent. How much is a denarii, 1 denarii, or a denarius? Sorry? 1p? No, 1 denarii is 1 day's wages for a labourer. So a talent is 6,000 denarii, which means that's 6,000 days' wages for a labourer, which roughly is about 20 years' wages. £200,000, let's say, on a pessimistic thing. One talent is £200,000. That's quite a lot, isn't it? To one interested, 5 talents. How much is that? £1 million. To another interested, was it 2 talents, £400,000, and to another 1 talent. That is £200,000. So it's a lot of money. It's not just the 50 quid. Now, Peter did not have £1 million to entrust, well, and all those other stuff. I wish he did, you know. Didn't have enough of that stuff, so he demonstrated with the £50 and that sort of stuff. But it's a lot of money. It's a lot of things that God has entrusted in this story. You know, as I say today, when we think of this word talent, we think of gifts and our abilities. What Jesus is talking about in this story is money. He's not talking about necessarily about your gifts and your abilities. He is talking about money because that's what the word talent means. Now, the word talent means something else. And our word talent derives from that Greek word talenton. And our word talent today probably derives from this story. Because of our translation of it, we actually think, well, no, Jesus is not really talking about our money because that's too difficult. He's actually talking about our gifts and our ability. So I'm to give of my time and I'm to give of my ability and I'm to use that for God's glory. But my money is all mine. And our interpretation of that word has sort of moved away from it. Does that make sense? But what Jesus is talking about is money. But our use of our abilities and our time actually still applies to this story. Yeah, are you with me? Say yes, Chris, or just don't say no, Chris, because we'll be here forever otherwise. We're only at like verse 2, we're in the thing. So there we go. And he gives those talents each according to his ability. Do you think that's a bit harsh? So to the one person he gives 5 talents, so £1 million, and to the other person he only gives £200,000. Why is that sensible?
Because the person who's got more talent will know what to do with it.
Okay. Because the person who's got more ability will know what to do with it. Exactly. God gives us gifts according to our ability. Some people receive more gifts and talents and we could talk about finances in that way. This is where it gets a bit messy. Than other people. God blesses people, and it seems, in some people, more than he blesses other people. Well, that's not true. But from a purely worldly perspective, that's what it looks like. You know, some people who are just so talented. I'm going to fall into this trap now. That's all right. I mean, shall I answer it for you? You know, you see some people, they're just so talented. You know, that makes you sick. They can. The people who make me sick the most is these really musical people who can just pick up any instrument and play it whatsoever. Within 5 minutes, they can play any instrument. It makes me sick. Or people who are so good at every single sport in the world. You know, you come across these people and they say, why are they so talented and I can barely kick a ball or something like that? Does that ever annoy you? No? Is it just me? Okay, fair enough. There you go. What? Anybody? Yeah, be quiet. What are you after? Sort of thing. God gives us talents and abilities according to our abilities. If he gave us more than we could handle, well, then we'd waste it. We wouldn't use it to his glory. That's the same with money. If he gives us more money than we can properly handle, well, we wouldn't use it for his glory. We'd waste it, and it would destroy us. So he gives us things according to our ability, depending on what we can use it for. Then he went off on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. The people went to work. Jesus has entrusted us with something to do. Yeah, the master has gone away, but he's still with us. But Jesus isn't physically here like he was when he was telling that story. And he's not just gone away and says, you know, wait for me and I'll come back. You know, just sit around until I get back. He says, I've got something for you to do. I want you to work. There's a job for you to do, to get on with. And that job is increasing the kingdom of God. He uses this parable to talk about making more money. You know, Jesus is not talking about making more money, you know, becoming rich. He's talking about using what God has given us to advance the kingdom of God, to use it for God's glory, to increase his kingdom, to use these talents and these abilities and this property and this money and these cameras and these cars and these houses and all that stuff, absolutely everything that we have, to bless God, to glorify God, but also to help other people, to use it in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. What is appropriate use of God's talent, of God's money, of God's property? What is appropriate use? Okay, so using, you know, physically telling people, yeah? But what's an appropriate use of my house or my car or, you know, my property or my money?
Sharing.
So, okay, so to give some, yeah, share. Okay, what do you mean by that? Yeah.
I think the 2 that made money should appreciate the one that hasn't and help him.
Okay. Okay. So, so if you've got a big house, well, bless people with that big house. It doesn't mean you give your house away, but use it for God's glory. If you've got a car, give people lifts. If you've got a camera, let people use it. Whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that God has given you, it's not yours. He's entrusted it to you for your care. It doesn't mean to give everything that you've got away. He's not saying that at all. It doesn't say, right, okay, I've got all this money, I've got this property, right, I'm going to sell it all and I'll have nothing. That actually isn't good stewardship, because God has entrusted it to you, not to somebody else. He wants you to use it for his glory. And that does mean giving part of it away, because that's a command and he says, I want you to, you know, to tithe or whatever you use, sacrificial giving. But I want you to use the rest for my glory. Good stewardship of money. It's using our money in a way that blesses God. Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what I do with my money, with my time, with my abilities, with my house, with my car, with my property, with my possessions, is this blessing God? Is this honouring God? Does this please God? And if the answer is yes, then fantastic. That's all right, that's good stewardship. If the answer is no, then we need to do something about it and make a change in a way that we bless God. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. See, this 3rd character is very different from the other 2 characters. What's different about this guy?
He's scared of God.
He's scared of his master. Yeah. And he thinks, You know, if I take a risk with this and I lose it, I'm going to get punished. And I don't want to do that because I want to protect my own skin, basically. I feel sorry for this guy. Because when I look at the character, he only gets one talent, you know, and he's just doing what's wise in an earthly thing. He's a what?
He's a loser.
He's a loser. Yeah, maybe, yeah. When I was little and I first heard this story, I thought, well, that's what I would do. I'd go and hide because it's not mine, you know. And if I lose it, well, I'm be in big trouble. You think he's playing on the safe side? Yeah. He's on the safe side. Yeah, he's on the safe side. What Jesus is saying through this is there is no room for playing on the safe side within the kingdom of God. The reason he's playing on the safe side is because he has fear of his master and not a righteous fear. He doesn't really have fear of he's more concerned about his own skin than he is about blessing his master. That's why he does this. He's more concerned about protecting himself than he is about honouring his master. He doesn't understand the character of his master. He views his the master's character in a very different way than the other two. He doesn't know his master very well. This is why he's only got one talent. Because he's not, you know, he hasn't got the ability to cope with the five talents, you know. He's fearful, he doesn't recognise what God wants him to do, he doesn't understand that God has entrusted him with this stuff, and he wants him to get on and use it for God's glory. Poor stewardship of God's things is not using it for his glory, holding on to it, keeping it. The reading we had last week is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, if you were a fundamentalist, you would say that means you shouldn't have a bank account. You know, you shouldn't save money. Well, I don't believe God's saying that at all. But storing things up for no particular use, no particular purpose, actually isn't a blessing. It's not honouring God. Saving money is, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't save money because that's wise, isn't it? It's wise to do that, but not just for the sake of it. The more money you have stockpiled, the harder it is for you to get your head around this concept of everything being God's. That works for us individually and us corporately as a church. Everything that we have individually and everything that we have corporately is to be used for God's glory. As a church, everything we have is to be used for advance of the gospel, work of the gospel. We looked at that last week. If we just store it all up and don't actually use it for God's glory, then that's actually poor stewardship. It's not blessing God. It's not honouring God. That's being unfaithful. And the response is, you wicked, lazy servant. Does that make sense? That we are to use what God has given us in a way that blesses him. Other poor stewardship of money and abilities and properties is doing things that are sinful. Using our money to buy pornography. That's sinful use of God's money. Uniting God with those sort of things. You could say using our money to gamble is poor stewardship because it's God's money and he doesn't want us to do that. Using our money to buy lots of stuff which we shouldn't have or that doesn't bless us or doesn't help us. You know, excess of alcohol or excess of food or excess of television or whatever it is, excessively, is not good stewardship of what God has given to us. Because it's not ours, it's his, and he's entrusted it to us for his, to use it for his glory. To be good stewards of what we have. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. After a long time, we're in this for a long haul, aren't we? The Christian race is not a sprint. This journey that we're on is not a 100 metres dash. It's a marathon. We need to pace ourselves. Peter's expectation, as he wrote, you know, a lot of the New Testament, was that Jesus is coming back now, instantly. You know, I will see Jesus return. Well, we're 2,000 years on and Jesus still hasn't come. He may come in my lifetime, he may not. We need to be in it for the long haul. The difficulty with that, because Jesus is talking about being ready. Well, how can you be ready when you don't know what time you're leaving? You know, I have this problem, you know, we're going out. And I think, well, we're going out this time, but you know, oh no, it's not that time, is it? You know what I'm talking about, you know. Are you ready? We're going to go out at 7 o'clock. You know, I'll say, well, you know, I'm not ready yet, I'm not ready yet. It's so difficult to get ready when you don't actually know what time you're getting ready for, yeah? Jesus tells us about that. If you knew what time, it just wouldn't make sense. There's another parable about that. That means, you know, if you're ready for something that you don't know when it's going to happen, you have to be ready the whole time. If you're a fireman on call, you know, or a lifeboat attendant on call, you have to be ready the whole time. You know, you can't just sort of think, okay, as soon as I hear that alarm, then I'll get ready. Well, it's too late. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's a long time. I need you to be ready the whole way through your life. Not just at the end, not just wait. You think, okay, well, Jesus will probably come back this time, so I'll start to get ready then. That's not what he said. I want you to be ready. Because readiness isn't about waiting, it's about doing. Being ready for Jesus' return is not about sitting still, it's about being active. We show that we are ready by getting on and doing the stuff that God has called us to do. Yeah, does that make sense? And he came back to settle accounts with them, to check that have we used the things that God has given us for his glory. The man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. See, this man worked hard. What did he do with those 5 more talents that he earned? What did he do with them? He gave them back to God. He gave them back to his master. He didn't keep them. He says, look, I've done this, and whatever he did, he invested it, or whatever he did, he got 5 talents more. He got another £1 million, basically. And he says, there you go, because that's yours. Now, that's a difficult thing to work out. He worked hard for that, for 10 years, 20 years, however long it was. He had worked hard. But he recognized that even though he'd worked hard and earned this, it still didn't belong to him. And he gave it to his master. The same happened when his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The reward given to him for his faithful service is blessing, spiritual blessing. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean when it comes to money that if we're faithful with our money that God will give us more money. Sometimes it works that way, you know. And I know sometimes when I've not had much but I've been faithful with the little God has given me, he's actually given me more financially. But it means spiritual blessings. I will give you more. I will give you more. The more faithful you are to me, the more of a good steward you are with the things I give you, the more blessing I will give to you. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Notice here. Go on then.
I was just going to say, it seems to me about talk about responsibility as well. The more responsible we are, then the more responsibility you'll be given.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's been the little that God gives us, the more, exactly right, the more we responsibly use it, the better stewards we are of it, the more blessing God gives to us. The blessing or the reward or whatever you want to call it that God gives to this second servant is the same that he gives to the first servant. Now, he's only brought him back an extra £200,000. The other one brought back £1 million. You know, God's eyes doesn't see in that way. He treats us all equally. Yes, he may give us different gifts according to our abilities, but that's out of love because he knows what we can cope with and what we can't cope with. But if we are faithful with whatever it is that God has given us, we will receive the same reward. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, that's a picture of eternal salvation. Come and share your master's happiness. Come and be with me. Come and share my blessings in my kingdom. Come and be with me. What Jesus is saying is if you're faithful with what I give you, you will share in your master's happiness. That's great. The flip side is, if you're not faithful, you don't. Now you might think, hang on a minute. That sounds a little bit like being saved by works, doesn't it? That we have to earn our salvation. Yeah? Do we have to earn our salvation? What do we do with this then? Come and share your master's happiness because you've been faithful, because you've worked for me. What do we do with it? We recognise that this is what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian isn't about head knowledge. It's not about believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that God created the world and has plans and purposes for our lives. It's not about that at all. It's about showing that through our lives. But a change in belief means a change in action and values. Change in knowledge doesn't mean anything, you know. If you just know something, well, it doesn't change at all. But a true change in belief actually changes the way you live your life. If there is no change, there is no life. Just because you know God exists, just because you know Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, and through him all people are saved or can be saved, but you don't show any of that with your lives, does not mean you are saved. Just because you come to church and sing songs and pray and give of your money does not mean you are saved. Salvation comes when there is change in our lives. Doesn't mean when we become perfect, because nobody's perfect. But it comes when we recognize that Jesus is my Lord, that everything I have belongs to him, and everything I do, everything I say, I will try to do for his glory. Now, there will come times when you don't. And every day I mess up in those things where I think what I have is my own and I don't use my gifts and my times for his glory. And I don't pray and I don't worship the way I should do. But the key is this try, this recognizing that God is my Lord and I will work for him. He is my priority in life. Does that make sense? That there needs to be this change in the life. The man who'd received one talent came. Master, he said, I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. It just underlines the different image that this guy has of his master. The other two don't have this image. They don't say, you're a hard man, you do this. They have love and compassion for their master. You know, they serve him. They joyfully take what he's given to them and they joyfully give back to him. This guy is totally different because he doesn't understand who his master is and he has a false perspective of who he is. The more that we know God, the more we will understand what he has in store for our lives and what he wants us to do. If we don't know God, we won't know at all. If we don't talk to God, then we won't know what he wants us to do and then we won't be able to serve him properly. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant out into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's harsh, isn't it? Do you struggle with that when you read that? Hang on a minute, does that fit with this character of a loving, of a compassionate God? Well, it's from a loving and a compassionate God. So therefore it must fit with that character. God is a loving, compassionate God, but he's also a just God. And the kingdom of God is for people who belong in the kingdom, who are subjects to the king. We're subjects to the queen. Well, we might not be, but we're part of the United Kingdom. And what that means is that we acknowledge, or we should do, that the queen is our, you know, whatever the word is, our monarch. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Not the airline, but the thing. And that we're her subjects. Well, it doesn't really work, does it, anymore? You know, it's more of what's the word I'm looking for? Tourist thing and stuff, you know, because the queen has no power or nobility. But that's what the whole kingship used to be in olden days. You were subjects to the king and you dedicated your life to the king or the queen. That's what it means to be part of the kingdom. Exactly the same is true for the kingdom of God. What it means to be part of the kingdom of God is that we are subjects of the king being Jesus. Everything in the kingdom belongs to the king. We're just looking after it. The kingdom of God is for people who serve the king. And if you don't serve the king, well, you don't know the king, and why would you even want to be part of the kingdom? Because you don't even know who he is. God gives us things according to our ability, according to how we can cope with them. And he says, look, I'm entrusting that to your care. I want you to use it to be a blessing to your life, but also a blessing to other people's lives. I want you to be good stewards of what I give to you. Why? Because your life will be blessed when you do that, because trust me in this, I know what I'm talking about. I know more than you, God says. I created you. I created the world. I know how all these things work. I know how you work. I know how you fit together. And I know that if you do these things, your lives will be better. But I also know that if you don't do these things, your lives will become hard and difficult and you will become bitter. and insincere. Trust me. Last week we read from Malachi where God says, test me in this. If you are faithful to me in this, I will pour so much blessing upon you that you can't even cope with it. No, I want to be in that place where God pours blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon us. How do we get in that place? Well, by being faithful stewards of what he's given to us. Recognize that to be a member of the kingdom of God means change in my life. Not just change in my head, but change in my heart. That all I have is God's, and he's given it to me to take care of, to use it wisely. Therefore, let us all, as individuals, use what God has given us for his glory. And let us, as a church, use all that God has given us for his glory and for the work of the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you love each one of us. We thank you that you know how each one of us works, that you created us, that you formed us, that you have plans and purposes for our lives. Help us to live our lives according to you, so that we may be blessed, and so that we may be a blessing to other people. Father, would you help us to see that all we have belongs to you, and we're just looking after it. Help us to use those things, to use our time, our gifts, our money, our property, our possessions, for your glory, to be good stewards of them, to use them wisely. And as we do that, I pray that you would be faithful to your promise, that you would bless us, that you would pour blessing upon us. And whatever that blessing may be, Father, whether it may be increase of finances for some, whether it may be increase of spiritual abilities or knowledge or wisdom or time, whatever that blessing you have for us, Father, help us to use that too for your glory, because we love you. You are our King and we worship you. Amen.